It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, and we got a great. This is going to be a great, great show, right, Kyle from LaGrange?
Time will tell, but certainly hope so. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, man, Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, dude?
Not much, guys. Just watching some basketball. Love March Madness.
Well, that was a nice thank you, Bubba. You're learning about segues. We have a basketball player, great athlete. Definitely, I'm sure he can shoot some hoops. We'll find out. Definitely, you've heard him on 94.3 The Game, and we'll find out more about him. And, of course, he played on the 1993, the last time there was March Madness in Greenville as far as going to the big dance. We're talking about TJ Long. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
We've been wanting to have you on for a while now, and here you are. We wanted to have a It's going to be kind of like a roundtable kind of show. There's so much to talk about, and we wanted to have you on because I'm sure that you're well-versed in a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about tonight. And first off, we'll give you a chance to we'll give a little bit of, I guess, your bio, and so then we can dive into some topics. But I know that you played on the 93 team, and I was there in Winston-Salem. That was an incredible run you guys had at East Carolina.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's hard to believe, but actually tonight my phone was lighting up between I'm on a text group with 10 of the members of that team, and we text all the time, and so one of the guys texted tonight and said, "Hey, 26th anniversary starting tonight." And last night and tonight with the first four playing, and so we've been texting back and forth about that. So yeah, we've stayed in contact, and it's really been great. We talk, we see each other, we get together, and it was a magical run, being that we were a seventh seed going into the conference tournament and winning the CAA tournament that year.
And I know you were a great athlete at Northeastern High School, right, in Elizabeth City?
Well, great is kind of the key word there. if you're asking me or if you're asking others, yeah, I played football, basketball, and baseball. I played quarterback on the football team. We were a state playoff football team, got beat by the eventual state champions in the playoff my senior year. I played, obviously, basketball for Northeastern High School, and I was actually recruited to play baseball by Coach Gary Overton at ECU, and ended up I got sick my senior year. I missed some of my senior year in baseball, and so I ended up walking on in basketball with Coach Payne. Back in the 92-93 season.
That was great. In fact, I understand there's a certain guy you played high school football with. A fan of this podcast, Andrew, is it DiGiovanni?
Yeah, he was my center. Absolutely.
Yeah, he brought that up to me, that he didn't know that you and I knew each other, and then Kyle and Andrew know each other. Now I know Andrew, and so he's a big fan, one of our first fans of the podcast, so I want to give a shout out to him. And
Was Andrew always that hyper when you played with him too?
Exactly like he was. I've known him. We called him Drew. I've known Drew since seventh grade, and he was exactly like he is today. What you see is what you get. So yeah, that's funny. He's a great friend, and he played center, and so you could say, yeah, I know him pretty well.
he's naturally caffeinated, right? Like Kyle from LaGrange.
yes, he is. Absolutely.
The good news about Kyle, he doesn't have people think he has high blood pressure. He doesn't. He's just naturally caffeinated. I love that.
And naturally caffeinated, huh?
That's perfect.
That's perfect. In other words, it's not like you're like Kyle always says, I was losing my mind. It doesn't mean that his blood pressure went way over there. It's just
I just get very animated,
passionate.
People just.
Well, I think that's one of our greatest resources, and I think that's something that we talked about lots of challenges with that the Pirate Nation has to overcome. But I think one place will never be, P6, Power 5, G5, whatever. When it comes to passion, I'm thankful for people that have the passion, and even sometimes we don't always get along. You know, we all want the same end, and we can argue
right.
and whatever about how to get there, but we all want the same end, and that's a good place to be, really.
Yeah.
Well, we want to start with, speaking of passion, TJ. We'll talk more about your career.
I got a good segue, Dave.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I'll let you take the floor. I was getting ready to introduce it, but that's not fair.
It's probably not where we're going. I was probably about to go somewhere else. He mentioned Power Five and Group of Five.
I was not going there.
Okay. Do you want to go there now? Or you want to go elsewhere?
Go ahead there, and I'll piggyback on what I was going. I'll introduce it for you.
Yesterday, it's not the official announcement as it came from the conference or ESPN yet, but it looks like our new television deal has been leaked. And looks like the Americans signed a new deal starting in the 2020-2021 season, going to the 30-31 season with the ESPN family of networks. And they're going to be paying us, each school in the American Athletic Conference, $7 million a year, which is a huge increase. We have been getting
– Two.
We're at two, and that's with all television deals, including CBS, and our CBS portion of the deal hasn't been renegotiated yet. So we'll get a bump up from that $7 million. So,
you think there's a possibility of getting $2 million from them?
No. The CBS Sports Network stuff is actually leased through ESPN. Our deal with CBS is a basketball-only deal for a handful of first tier basketball games on CBS Network, not CBS Sports Network, but CBS Network.
CBS Network.
No, the Sports CBS Sports Network. Those games are actually leased to them by ESPN, so that's not a separate contract for us.
Okay.
The current CBS deal, if our memory serves me correct, pays each school about $150,000 per. Okay. That'll go up, obviously. If the ESPN contract went up, that'll go up. My guess, I'm just guessing on that, probably $500,000 per. So we may end up at like $7,500,000 a year is what we may end up with. But we're at $7 million now. That's a $5 million increase for every school in the American Athletic Conference for the media deal. There was a lot of talk of what it would be. But at the end of the day, that's not that everybody, and I think, guys, I think had some schools like Cincinnati and Houston and UCF been willing to sign a grant of rights deal, I think we would have been able to get that $10 to $12 million. But because they wouldn't, we ended up getting $7 million. But when you really think about it, that's $5 million more dollars a year that now John Gilbert knows he's going to have in his athletic budget.
Yeah,
that's huge. It's a 10-year deal. So that's $50 million that we wouldn't have had.
Take it. How about you guys? Sign me up.
So yeah, I mean, absolutely. And one of the key components to me, it'll be interesting as I've looked to see what other conferences are getting. And some of that, you know, you've seen some of that with Conference USA and some of those other schools.
Yeah.
One of the big things to me is that clearly separates – that makes us P6 from the, you know, I hate using those terms because I hate giving into those terms, really. You know, cartel.
I agree with
it's what I normally refer to it as. But it clearly separates us from those deals. Plus, you know, I'm kind of curious, and I didn't have time to look at it before we came on with the Mountain West. But I think Boise State gets the lion's share of what happens with the Mountain West. Is that correct?
Mountain West, yes. Boise has their own separate deal with ESPN. The conference deal is separated between CBS Sports Network and ESPN, and the payout's around $1.8 million, so just shy of $2 million. And then Boise has a deal, I want to say they get around $3
million. Right. So that clearly separates us, and though we don't have the same deal as the you know, the
Power
ACC five. And whatever yeah. that the power. Yeah, I try again. I've tried to train myself not to use that term.
I should do the same.
But it clearly separates us from them, which gives us a chance to, for over the next 10 years, to continue to fight to me, it almost makes it like we get a chance to fight on and play another day where, you know, before realignment happened in the American, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, good gracious, what in the world is going to happen to us? And like Indiana Jones, you know, we were able to slide under the brick, the stone door. This gives us a chance to go forward and to compete. And so, yeah, I agree. That's I think it's a very significant event that's happened to us here.
And especially when you think about I was just going to add one thing, just the fact that you can, you think about Southside Project, and you think about, of course, we're going to have the nutritionist, and I'm not using the other term that they call it now, which is stupid. Speaking of terms, I can't stand training table. It makes no sense.
That's been around for
forever. Yeah, it makes no sense to me. But anyway, nutritionist and the indoor practice facility. Let's go ahead and get the Vince McMahon practice facility. We'll talk about that in a little
while. That's right.
I do want to tag on to the about the Mountain West. Their media rights deal is coming up, I think, in about another year. So it'll be interesting to see what they get. They'll probably get a bump, but they won't
like maybe
get,
$3 million or $4 million,
yeah,
somewhere in that neighborhood.
Guess.
Is what I'm thinking.
BYU gets $4.5 million, and
right.
I don't see them touching
anywhere close
BYU.
To
BYU. And I'll tell you another interesting aspect of this, and then we'll move on. If they'll match per school, if we add, it would be interesting to see now if Boise and BYU give us a phone call, because
that would be awesome.
Because we're making more money than those two schools are. And if we reach out to ESPN and say, hey,
we can renegotiate, right?
Well, I would think if we're adding those two, will you increase accordingly another $7 million per? If you had BYU and Boise in this league, I don't see how it's not considered a power league at that point.
I agree.
I mean, with what we already have, I mean, good God.
Yeah. And especially if you look at the football alone. I mean, you know, with that, those two, adding those two and – and
well,
that also
that's
helps
what it
the,
is.
The
I mean,
team,
it's all football.
It also helps the team and the teams out in the West. That helps them out to have more, you know, like you actually, I guess you could shuffle some teams around and you could put, but, well, I guess it would still be
BYU, well, it could be football only with those two, particularly with BYU with their not being willing to play any games on Sunday, like, you know, even for baseball, et cetera. So, That would be interesting to see if that happens. That's just pure speculation, but it wouldn't surprise me.
That's a good idea.
You know, and same with Army. It'd be interesting to see now. You know, if Army would get, it'd be with that.
We
money,
would have the Army. I was saying that that way you have
the Army
Navy game would be a conference game,
which that again that would increase revenue.
Yeah.
So,
Speaking of BYU and Boise State, though, I'm very excited that the Pirates have those two teams on non-conference schedules in years to come.
Yeah, one of the few things Confer did do right.
Yeah, he did. He did a really good job. And
yeah,
I
couldn't stand Jeff Confer, but one thing I always did give him credit for is I actually thought he did a better job scheduling than people let on.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he added a lot of those that I guess he had in his pocket and. You added a lot of those on towards the end, but happy to see. By the way, I'm going tomorrow. We'll see how things go. I'll let you know about that. They're having a luncheon for us for the media, so we'll find out about John Gilbert, I'm telling you, is doing a fantastic job, and not because of the luncheon. I just think that they're just doing everything. I know it's not.
He gives you a sandwich, and that's not all.
He's great. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know how the media works, TJ. I mean,
that's right.
Well, we get like $5.
No, we're really saying it because he's coming on the podcast.
Yeah,
he does a good job.
Gotcha. Wait a second, he hasn't been on the podcast yet?
Yeah,
he's been on
twice.
Yeah, I was just picking.
Oh, I was going to say, wait a second. I thought I heard him on the podcast.
yeah, we had him.
Yes.
We had him on.
Okay. And I was going to say, you've had me on the podcast. Okay, gotcha. Good. Yeah, I thought so. I've been tuning in, and I said, wait a second, I thought I'd heard that before. Okay, gotcha. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. But that'll be interesting there. And then I also want to talk about, before I forget, let's talk about what happened to you today, Kyle, on Voice of the Colors. Getting slammed, or
yeah. Well,
I got to get TJ's opinion on this because this will be interesting to see how he feels about this.
Yeah, it started last night. Someone had posted about Linda McMahon being a candidate for the Board of Trustees. And I said, you know, I didn't want Linda on the BOT. And immediately I got slammed. What pisses me off, and then I'll get into the reasons why I don't want her on the Board of Trustees. What pisses me off, if you want to downvote me, fine, who cares? If you want to disagree with me like some people did, that's fine too. But one thing I never do ever is personally attack people. Now, to be clear, because somebody just went, oh, bull crap, I personally attack people that are in positions of power. I personally attack people that are
incompetent.
Yes, you know, if you're the athletic director or you're the chancellor or you're the head of the Board of Trustees and you're not doing your job, then yeah, I'll go after you. But as far as another fan or someone posting, I never make so people calling me an idiot or saying I'm not happy unless I'm miserable and mad about something. y'all can kiss my ass. Now, with that said,
how do you really feel? So please release the whole back.
With that said, let me say the reasons why I don't want Linda McMahon on the Board of Trustees. First of all, I'm well aware of Linda McMahon, probably more so than most people. I'm aware.
In fact,
of
Kyle and I are the TJ Kyle and I, as you probably know, are the. I don't know if you're a wrestling fan, but Bubba is not. So coming from a wrestling fan, I should tell you that we're speaking of objective, because if it's a rubber stamp of us. If you love wrestling, yeah, put Linda McMahon on there because we know who she is.
And right. I love old wrestling.
I was never, it's not I was anti, I was just always so much into other sports, I just never really followed it.
Yeah. Well, it's sports.
Entertainment. Right.
Just right.
Oh, wait a second. When Gordon Solie was announcing and Mr. Wrestling number 2 came on against the Junkyard Dog, that was
absolutely.
Absolutely.
That was real.
That was real.
Yeah, wrestling is real. What are y'all talking about?
You're talking about wrestling too, and Gordon Sully and Junkyard Dog. You're talking about Georgia Championship wrestling.
Georgia
Championship.
You're not talking
about Jim Crockett Promotions.
Not Jim Crockett yet. No, I go back to a little bit of Florida Championship wrestling in the Georgia, and then the Crockett with. Bringing in Dusty Rhodes and the American Dream, absolutely, yeah.
But Crockett was around before then. But interesting, you said you grew up in the Elizabeth City area.
Yeah.
Crockett they covered the Carolinas all the way back to the 60s. You know, that was their territory.
Yep.
But they had little gaps in areas where anyway, we won't get into a full wrestling discussion. But Linda McMahon. Here's why I don't want her as on the Board of Trustees. Positives, obviously, she's well qualified. She's helped run a multi-billion-dollar corporation. Right now, she's the head of the Small Business Administration for Donald Trump. So she's well qualified from those aspects. She's a multi-billionaire. This is why I don't want her. When she delivered the commitment speech, the graduation this past year, that was the first time she stepped foot back on the campus of East Carolina since she graduated, to my knowledge. She would rubber stamp anything that came along for the Board of Trustees. She's not going to be very involved. She's not going to be passionate. She doesn't have the time. She's not really going to give a damn about what's going on in Greenwood, East Carolina. Now, if you want to say, well, if we get her involved in her being a billionaire, then perhaps the McMahons would give more to the university. I understand that logic.
And that's the one piece of it that I could see her being.
Yeah, that's my one caveat to. I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but we don't know. Sometimes when people get, you know, they get a little bit older, they get not in retirement, but they start thinking. Legacy play, you know what I mean?
Right.
They've been
building,
and now that they've built, they go, okay, you know, I want to leave, and if that could benefit ECU, but you know, that would not being on campus for a while could be forgivable if they come back, you know, that they come back in. There's just the resources that could have. That's the point. But yeah, everything that you're saying, absolutely. Plus we talked about being at a crossroads.
Correct.
Kind of
that's
where
what
we
I was
are
about
now
to get
with a chance.
Into, yeah.
Go ahead and go there.
Yeah, if we had a chancellor in place that everybody was happy with and things were running smoothly at the university. And it was, you know, let's say how it was, you know, 10 years ago. Then then Linda McMahon would be great. Have her on the Board of Trustees. Let's see if we could turn it into a beneficial relationship between her and the university and maybe get her more involved, her events, and just put it blankly, what everybody really wants her around for, get some money out of her. But right now we need people that are passionate. We need people who are really – going to care about what's best for this university and ain't going to rubber stamp a damn thing. We don't need yes men. We need people who are really going to care about moving this university forward and unity and togetherness and kumbaya and all that jazz. And I just don't think Linda really cares. And I think perhaps the reason on Hoist the Colors, I may have done it to myself and got attacked. I responded rather bluntly about it, and the reason I did it was because the way it was being presented, it's being presented as if Harry Smith and the Board of Governors are trying to keep Linda McMahon from being on the Board of Trustees. And they're using that angle. They're basically using her, in my opinion, Shanahan, and such are using her and that angle to try to gain support to basically it's them versus Harry. And that's what this is about. And
right.
And they're just trying to fool people using Linda McMahon's name to try to gain support.
And
I'm not going to be fooled.
here's another thing that I want to say to them is enough already. How many years do we have to go, you know, TJ, when you were talking about passionate, that's absolutely right. I'm proud to be a Pirate. I'm proud to be from Eastern North Carolina. I'm a local kid, literally 45 minutes away from Greenville. And my thing is, can we just finally, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that everybody has to have the same opinion. Mm-hmm. I like on this show when Kyle and I get into it, or if it's Bubba or if it's off the air, on the air, you know, I don't have to agree with you, TJ, and you don't have to agree with me. I don't want those kind of people. I like when people that sometimes those are things they enlighten me on things that I thought that I knew. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that. And it changes my mind. So that's good. But it seems like there's some people that want to continue to have this us against them kind of thing. And I'm just ready for it's time to move on. It's time to move on from – I really don't – honestly, maybe that's a rich man's debate or whatever or with the trustees.
Yeah.
It's not –
That's
I'm
the
not
problem.
Into,
it's got to be a rich – it's just talking about a rich man's debate. That's the problem. It seems to – and obviously you want people that are successful to be on the board of trustees. But, you know, why have you got to be a millionaire? I mean, why
but
you know – I mean, I know a lot of people that would be qualified to be on the Board of Trustees that you know, I shouldn't say make a modest living, but compared to Linda McMahon, anybody makes a modest living. But
well,
and I want to be clear,
well,
if it was a different time, I wouldn't have a problem with Linda being on the Board of Trustees.
Yeah, and some of that, though, you're not talking about equal gifts as much as you're talking about equal sacrifice do for some,
exactly.
right?
Exactly.
So if I'm a teacher, mm-hmm. which I used to be for 14 years, and I'm giving $200, $300 a month to the Pirate Club, that's a large percentage out of my paycheck,
right?
Versus if I'm more successful,
mm-hmm.
more, you know, if I have a job that's making more and I'm dropping. If I'm a billionaire and I'm given a million, you know, or whatever that is. So, you know, to some degree, we're talking about We want passionate Pirates.
Yes.
who are sacrificing, who've got skin in the game, who are in the game, and so.
If you're a teacher and you're giving $200 or $300 a month, you're a set of masochists.
Yeah, that's crazy. Maybe for you drop your Pirate Club donation and you buy some tickets for
exactly.
a teacher. That's a pretty significant
sacrifice. Yeah, exactly.
And if you're
looking multiple and in multiple sports like I am, Bubba is too. I know that can start to add up, and it comes down to as well. It got to the point of when I was telling the guys between the Pirate Club donation and also when you're looking at that, and then when you look at the tickets, that's a lot of my entertainment dollars. I mean, Kyle is and I are big into concerts.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got to the point where I'm putting a lot of my money that I normally would have in concerts to East Carolina. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing or that I'm mad or anything. I'm just saying under the Comfort administration, it makes you very angry when I was giving a couple $1,000 between the Pirate Club donation and the tickets, and you're not seeing progress. And now that we have Dooley here, you've got Cliff here, you've got Mike Houston, and I just have to say this to you guys before I forget. I want to mention this. I am so thrilled to have Mike Houston as our coach. I was out at practice today, and it was, I hate to use the term, it's overused, a cliche, night and day. Those guys are playing or practicing like a football team now. And everybody would probably be mad for me, like over-exaggerating. When I pulled up this afternoon.
I think most people are seeing it.
When I pulled up in the parking space today and I see those guys taking each other on like a real practice, and TJ, you know, you're I coach football, and so has Bubba, and played, but I haven't, had a level you guys have. But when I saw that, it was so refreshing. And guess what? The great thing about football, it's a man's sport. Those guys were going head to head, and they were speaking of passion and enthusiasm. And when I was there last year, I know it was the third year in Montgomery, it was kind of like they were just going through practice, like going through the motions. That's the way they played the games, and they had some fight in them this year that I haven't seen under the Montgomery era, and we're already seeing it the fourth day of practice, spring practice with Houston.
I've been really impressed, and again, a little bit with my hobby gig of being with 94.3, being able to go over to being in some of the media events, that's something that I haven't always had access to. But because I was a coach for so long, I could gain some access for that. So a lot of times when you talk about Hoist the Colors and some of those things, I've had players who are going over and playing. I didn't feel it was appropriate for me to comment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because when Skip Holtz was here or some of the others, you get to see kind of the curtain get strong back and you're kind of a part of it. Well, I don't want to, I would read it all the time, but didn't want to go out there and put stuff out there because it might be involving a student athlete that I coached or some of those types of things. But, getting the chance to sit down and talk with Coach Trott and again, of course, Kirkpatrick, and I think Coach Donnie Kirkpatrick and Steve Shankweiler are probably two of the most underrated coaches there are in college football.
Now, you are absolutely
right. I've been wanting to say this and wanted to revisit it. Lincoln Riley's development, in my opinion, was to a large degree with his work with Donnie Kirkpatrick. And some of those guys kind of the first time around. And Coach Kirkpatrick's not going to go out there and talk about it because that's not him. But I do know that a lot of the things that were developed, Lincoln Riley, everything was about the air raid. And what made Riley great, in my opinion, was how he started to evolve that into a power running game off of the air raid concept.
Right.
And those things, when you're running counter tray out of the air raid, that's a problem. I was a defensive coordinator for 15 years in high school football, and I'm sitting there watching that going, I really don't know what this is really a problem when you can spread everybody out mm-hmm. and come downhill at the same time. And I think Coach Kirkpatrick, I think, you know, with Shankweiler, their development, and then Riley being, to his own credit, being able to adapt and innovative and a young guy with, you know, all that kind of thing, that was kind of a perfect storm for him. And so I'm tremendously excited about Coach Kirkpatrick and Shankweiler and those guys coming back and what they can bring to ECU. So yeah, I'm real excited about that.
Yeah, I think Donnie Kirkpatrick had a lot to do with the success when Ruffin was here and the development of the offense when Riley was here. I mean, Riley is an offensive genius, but I think Donnie K had a lot to do with that. Donnie K is the best damn receivers coach I've ever seen in my life.
Oh,
I mean, are you kidding me? You go back, Andre Allison, Dwayne Harris, Justin Hardy, Zay Jones. Every one of those guys were recruited and developed under Donnie Kirkpatrick.
Future Hall of Famers in East Carolina.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you something else about I can't wait to see it this year. A Donnie Kirkpatrick, and I know Donnie K's not coaching the receivers, but he is the OC.
I know what you're about to say, Kyle.
You think our receivers are going to be able to block?
Is that what you just thought I was going to say, Bubba?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Staying on blocks.
Oh, God, I missed that so bad when Donnie K won't hear. And I cannot wait to see our receivers stay on blocks. It's going to be great to see that again because that was something I used to always enjoy. Man, our receivers were physical as crap when he was here blocking.
Yeah.
And,
hey, remember against Virginia Tech back in 2014, I remember Cam Worthy got called for a hold on a touchdown run by Breon Allen or someone,
yep.
And it wasn't a hold. It was just blocking the guy through the whistle.
Yeah, he just smashed him.
I love Donnie K, and I love him. Let me preface before I say this. I love Ruffin McNeil. The one mistake Ruffin McNeil made, and I think at the end of the day, when he didn't make Donnie Kirkpatrick offensive coordinator, that was the people want to analyze Ruffin. That was the biggest mistake he made.
Yeah,
that was And I don't know if he made a deal with Dave Nickel or Lincoln had a deal with. I don't know if all that, you know, how politics are, but you're right about that. That Donnie K certainly. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I'm very excited about that. And I want to mention, too, TJ, hopefully you can make it April 13th after the spring game. We're going to have the spring bowl after party. I guess we'll have a name for it maybe, but basically it's we want everybody to go to the spring game.
How about we call it the spring game podcast party, Dave?
Whatever you want to call it.
Podcast
I don't care.
Party. The Pirate Purple podcast.
The Great Pirate Purple and Gold podcast party.
Yeah, whatever we want to do, it's fine with me. We'll have a contest. We'll give you tickets to an upcoming game, a baseball game, if you can come up with a name. How about that? We'll do that. I'll give you my seats for a game.
Yeah.
We'll do that for social. Can we do that, Bubba? Our social
media
director?
Sounds good.
All right. I'll give away an upcoming game.
What do we normally – I mean, we – like the first one was called the Nostalgia Party. What do we call the one in December? The
Independence Bowl. Independence Bowl Party.
40th anniversary
party. Yeah. Well, I mean, is it essentially the spring game party? I mean,
Do that. Yeah.
Or, you know, when people want to name it. I mean, I don't, whatever. If you guys want to do a contest for a name, we'll do it.
Whatever y'all want to do is fun.
All right. We'll talk about it.
But anyway, I want everybody to come to Professor Cool's 5 to 7 April 13th. It's the day before my birthday. So,
the bring Dave a present.
It's actually Thomas. And if you're a history buff, you would know that it's Thomas Jefferson's birthday too. So on April 13th, so it'll be a great time. We'll celebrate Thomas Jefferson and
Dave,
a great
what do you want?
Lincoln was assassinated on the 14th. So
that's
there,
right.
There
that's
you go.
Right.
Yep.
And the Titanic sunk on the started sinking on the 14th, and actually sunk on the 15th. So
So yeah, it's appropriate you were born then, I guess. So Dave, what do you want? You want people to just bring cash? I mean, what do you need, man?
I'll tell you what, bottles of liquor?
I mean,
no, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to give to the Pirate Club in my name.
In Dave's name, all right.
Well, not my name, but I'm just saying make a donation to the Pirate Club. That'll be...
Dave wants you to boost his points.
No, not me. I'm just saying, it's not about me. I want to make money for the Pirate Club. So you can do that.
Dave, by the way, if you want to bring Dave something to drink, he drinks Seagram 7. So,
there you go. Oh, okay.
That's actually what Kyle likes.
7-7. Gotcha.
Exactly, yes. So bring that. Yeah.
Right. I think we're going to win the spring game, too, so it'll be a great party. We'll celebrate. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, so we'll do that. We'll keep talking about that. But
it is. Spring game, what is it, April 13th?
April 13th at 1:30.
Okay,
I want everybody to go there. It's free. Everybody go to the stadium. Let's show Mike Houston.
Yes. And
huge
after
crowd.
After the spring game, as Dave was saying, 5 to 7 at O'Cool's. We're going to have an after party. There will be several former players there. We'll have a guest list so people have an idea who they can come out and hang out with. We can guarantee you Terry Gallagher will be there from Georgia. I don't know if that's going to make people come or make people not come.
Is that Bunk?
Either way, Bunk's going to be there. But
you also have Pirate Fest going on that weekend.
Oh, that's right. Pirate Fest is going on that weekend. That's right. So anybody dressed up in pirate costumes are welcome to come to the after party.
We need to have Steve the Pirate. He had a conflict for the nostalgia party. Maybe we can have him for running the room or something. I don't know.
Yeah, he actually had another event that night in Greenville that he was attending in his pirate getup, if you will. But yeah, he was going to attend the nostalgia party in his costume.
Hey, did you guys ever hear Troy ask Mike Houston about Steve the Pirate the other day? Did y'all hear that?
Yeah,
I missed it.
Basically, Mike was like, he didn't give a damn.
That's great. He was like,
I don't care who you did. What did he say, Bubba? Do you know exactly what he said?
Yeah, well, they were talking about the new entrance, and Mike Houston was talking about how we might have a new entrance and that kind of thing, and Troy was talking about the different elements of it, and it was funny. He said, I'm not too concerned about it. He said, we'll come out together as a football team. Now, as far as the band, the cheerleaders, the mascot, and all that, he said, I could care less.
and then Troy asked him, has he met Steve yet? And he was like, no.
he said, have not met Steve.
But anyway, it
sounds like if he comes out on the practice field, he better run when he hits the red line.
He did say this, though, guys. Remember back, I don't know if it was 2013 or what year it was, when Steve threw the sword in the ground and Russ tripped over it. And he said, I have heard that you have to be very careful as to where Steve throws that sword.
I'm never quite sure. When Steve comes out, speaking of wrestling earlier, I'm never quite sure when Steve comes out if I should see if he needs a tag partner for the local indie wrestling show later that night, or if I should give my wife a dollar to go stick in his pants. But it's one or the other.
The thing about the sword incident, that's what, with that sword in the ground and that smoke, I mean, you can barely see in front of your face. So it's very easy to see how that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm anxious to see the new entrance, how that's going to look, if they're going to come in kind of down at the Boneyard end.
That's what I want to see. I think that would be for the students. That end,
smoke down there, and then the big screen right there behind it. Yeah, it would look good.
Certainly a better backdrop than the Murphy Center.
Yeah,
yeah. I get what Houston's saying. Basically, what he's saying is he wants to create. You know, when he had that infamous speech, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube, lock the damn gates. And you know, he gives these passionate speeches. He doesn't want to give passionate speeches in before the game, and pregame speeches, or even halftime speeches, and essentially, no offense, but a weight room. I mean, that's what he's saying. So what he wants is to create the atmosphere. TJ, we've all been in the locker rooms. You, as a coach, player, whatever, you want to have the atmosphere of a locker room where you can give that speech with your coach, assistant coach, player, whatever, and you come out and basically from there, from the locker room, you go down the hall outside in the stadium and have a different entrance. And I don't have a, I'll tell you why I don't have a problem with it, because Mike Houston is a really good coach, and basically right now, whatever he wants, he gets.
He's a good he, from what I can tell about Mike Houston, he cares about every little detail.
Oh, yes.
And I can tell you right now, and I mean this in a positive way, he's a control freak. And you know who he reminds me of from that aspect of being a control freak? Nick Saban.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good company, right? Multiple national champions, most in our era, in our lifetime, as far as national championships. So I definitely don't have a problem with that. And you know, he actually when it's all said and done, this year is going to make a huge turnaround for this program. It's evident now, and the schedule is favorable, and I think we'll, you know, we obviously have to play the games, and a lot of things can happen between now and then, but so far, so good there. I want to get your take, TJ, because I know coming up next month, and you've played basketball at East Carolina, and obviously the last time, this is what's amazing to me, I say this every year, but I don't want to die and have where we don't, no, I know I said a lot, but speaking of legacy, I don't want to have it where that was the only time in my lifetime. It's the first time I wasn't even born.
Right.
Out of two times, it was 72 and 93, speaking of March Madness, that we played, and you were in one of them. And I think that knowing you as much as I do, that some people are so small-minded where they were like, yeah, we're the ones that were there in 93 or the folks in 72. But the people that are – I'm sure on those teams, I would think, you're like, man, we don't want to be the only ones that went to the tournament. We want multiple every year.
Oh, my gosh. No. I remember after we won it. So if you rewind back to me, going into ECU, I got accepted into ECU. I'd been recruited at some places. I wanted to be a teacher, wanted to be a coach. And so, you know, I started looking at ECU, you know, sophomore, junior year. And so then with my senior year, we win the Peach Bowl. And then we turn around in the next academic year and go to the NCAA tournament. So in my mind, that's what's supposed to happen, right? We go win the Peach Bowl. We turn around. We go to the NCAA tournament, and it was kind of lost on me a little bit. I thought, man, it's been 21 or it's been 20 some years since 21 no. years, I guess, from 72 to 93 of between the NCAA tournament, and we kind of laughed and go, and you know, we're like, well, man, you know, it's not going to be another 20, you know. 20 years, and here we are at 26, and of course, obviously with the last few years of basketball, we're seemingly further away than ever. So, we absolutely have been going to basketball games, and let me say this about Coach Dooley. The greatest achievement this year with Coach Dooley is he did not spontaneously combust on the sideline. that was a major win for us. I can tell you that he was a 26-year-old assistant coach, and I made a freshman mistake of Coach Dooley was completely unapproachable after a loss. But I'm talking about not an NCAA loss, not a conference tournament loss, just a regular loss. And, you know, we end up losing the game, and here I am. I'm sitting there going, okay, where do we get our Chick-fil-A sandwich? Do we need to go over here? Do we get on the bus?
what do we do? And I kind of walked up to Coach Dooley and was like, hey, where do we go to get our sandwich, or what are we supposed to do? And thankfully, I can't remember who it was, Ike Copeland or Lester or somebody grabbed me and saved my life and said, you don't talk to Coach Dooley after a game. And so they grabbed me and, you know, again, saved me. And he was just sitting there, the most intense that you've ever seen anybody. He cannot stand losing. And, you know, I have full confidence that he's going to get us where we need to be. And so, yeah, that was I can look at it now after 20-some years and we can laugh about it. But they were like, man, you're lucky you didn't end up on the floor of the locker room right there. They were able to whisk me away before he realized I was actually asking him a stupid question, like, where do I get my sandwich?
Did you get your sandwich?
You know what? I was so afraid after they told me what happened, I don't even remember.
there were some times this year just watching him on the sideline. It was hilarious. I mean, you hated whatever had just happened, but you couldn't help but just kind of chuckle watching Coach Dooley on the sideline. You gotta love his passion.
Oh yeah, I'm sitting there watching, going, he's not gonna make it. You know, and I say that out of the most respect as a competitor for who he is. As a you know, again, I was a walk on. I didn't score, you know, 20 points a night or anything like that. But he was a guy that was so competitive, enjoyed what he taught me, and those kinds of things. And so it's been fun to reconnect with him. And I'm really hopeful that we're going to get this turned around. And I'm convinced he's the guy to do it. He wants to be here. He has to be here. I mean, you think about that. You think about, hey, we got a coach from a national championship program in Kansas who wants to be here, who's asked to be here.
Right.
And
it's not a stepping stone for him.
This isn't a stepping stone. This isn't I want to go do something else. His parents never – you know, they never left. So Coach Dooley, and I've had a chance to catch up with him here a couple of times, you know, since he's come back, and we've had a chance to talk. And so somebody actually told this to me. I didn't realize this. When we won the CAA tournament, so we're out there dancing around on the court. We're out there doing all the stuff, shenanigans that we were doing. Somebody said they actually saw Coach Dooley was at a payphone there at the Richmond Coliseum calling whoever it was in the next recruiting class. I don't remember who it was. I didn't know. And he's like taking the phone going, hey, listen to this. And he's holding the phone out in the tunnel of the Richmond Coliseum. His mind had switched from, we had just won the CAA tournament. We had just beat James Madison 54-49. We're out there dancing around on the court. Ike gets a ladder. Ike Copeland climbs up on the backboard.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a famous picture where he's kind of handing he's got a Go Pirates sign or whatever, and he's sitting up there on the rim on the backboard. And you know, I never thought about what Dooley was doing or what Payne was doing or what anybody, McGillin or Hopkins or what anybody was doing. Well, come to find out, connecting the dots, a guy goes, yeah, I know Joe Dooley was on the phone recruiting, hold the phone up going, listen to this. Do you want to come be a part of this?
Wow.
And so, you know, that's who Coach Dooley is. And, you know, like I said, I couldn't be prouder to be a part of that team that we're on. As a matter of fact, my phone has buzzed three times. The guys are watching some of the first four, and they're chatting back and forth. And I also wanted to say, I told you I didn't post very much on Voice of the Colors and that kind of thing. I posted one time this year, and nobody, I didn't get any downvotes or upvotes. I think one person maybe gave it a thumbs up or whatever. But but Lester got inducted into the Hall of Fame this year. And they coincided that with the 25th anniversary of – it was kind of the 25th, 6th anniversary because 92, 93 of the tournament. Of the 13 members that were on that team, 10 came back for Lester's induction and went to the Hall of Fame banquet the night before and were standing on the field – with Lester when he went in on the football field. Unfortunately, it was the Houston game and that we were getting beat, you know, 20 whatever to nothing, and that was probably the lowest attended game since in the last. But Coach Dooley wanted to do that cuz he wanted to put us out there on the football field in front of everybody. And we've been doing things during basketball season, but he wanted it to be a big deal in front of 50,000, and it ended up being, you know, it was late in the year, and it was what it was. So, but yeah, of the 13 members of the team, Kareem Richardson had transferred. He's the head coach of University of Missouri, Kansas City. He could not be at that event because he was at practice coaching his team. And two other members of that team were, you know, they ended up leaving the program. So essentially everybody from that team came back for that weekend for Coach Dooley, for Lester to be a part of it. And I was really, really, really proud, am really proud of that. And so, like I said, I kind of went on just a little rogue a post on Hoist the Colors. Hey, Letter Winners Weekend was great, and didn't get a lot of remarks. But I wanted out there not about me. I wanted out there about Lester and about our team. And so I want that. You know, that's kind of one of the things I wanted when Dave and y'all were talking to him about coming on the podcast tonight. That's one of the things I wanted to relay, and we got to get back to that.
Now, PJ. TJ, that story you shared about Coach Dooley at the Richmond Coliseum and the payphone, I had heard that. I think it was on Jeff Charles' show maybe at some point on From the Booth on Pirate Radio. And he had brought that up just talking about how Joe's a grinder and he's going to leave no stone unturned and he's going to do everything he can to sell ECU and to get players. And, you know, this year you would hear the stories. We had Cy Seymour on recently. The day after, the morning right after we had lost at Wichita State, the team headed home, and then Coach Dooley headed to California.
Yeah, and that's true. And you know, and I'll say this: I went over to practice that weekend of Letter Winners Weekend. So it was a preseason. I think that was October. I think the Houston game. I think that was October, maybe 13th, 14th,
that's
something
correct.
Like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it was preseason, and we went over there, and you know, Coach was, I mean, pouring heart and soul in there, and right after practice, we were kind of hanging around to speak to some guys, and you know, they walk out in there. Their travel, being the coaches, when I say guys, the walkout in their travel gear, getting ready to hit, you know, catch a plane, catch a bus, you know, whatever they were, wherever they were going. So they're working at it tremendously, putting a lot of time in it and a tremendous effort. And that's what it's going to take. I mean, obviously the American Athletic is no joke when it comes to basketball. So, but yeah, I was really proud of our team, and we're still close, and we still talk, and I think that's one of the things that sets us apart.
TJ, I was mentioned too, David Glenn. I was telling Bubba this. I hadn't had a chance to tell Kyle this. David Glenn did a great article. He's a contributor for The Athletic. It's a and theathletic.com. If y'all get a chance, folks get a chance, make sure you subscribe. It's a really good. It's a paid site, but like $40 a year, they've got specials. Anyway, he had an article I just read tonight about the Division I teams in North Carolina, 18 of them. And he made a great point about East Carolina that our league, being the American, is the sixth best league in the country.
Yeah.
Even he said, and he made a good point, even bigger than the Pac-12. How about that? So
yep. Yeah, this year. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing. That's what we're competing against. And then you look at TJ with the, you know, with Penny Hardaway, the class. I mean, we're talking about, they're saying maybe a top 20 recruiting
yeah.
class, the number one player.
Number one player in the country. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what we're competing. It's not the, it's not a small league by any stretch of the imagination. The good news with that is Dooley is recruiting heavily on that very fact. Hey, you come here. You get playing time, you come here, you're going to be on ESPN. You've got a chance to play against a guy who's going to have a lot of NBA scouts in the gym when you're playing against him, and they'll be able to
yeah.
see you too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's you know, and the other thing, I was sitting there last night, it took me an hour to figure out how to get True TV on my Roku through whatever here in Greenville with Suddenlink, but I succeeded. After you know, some gnashing of teeth, I was able to figure that out, because you know with the tournament, with them showing some of the games on True TV, and I sat there. Of course, you know, Temple laid an egg. Of course, Belmont's the team there. Belmont was a good team after watching them, but to sit here, to sit on my couch, 26 years later, and I'm pulling for Temple, to somehow that it semi represents us,
yeah.
you know, to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
a great league.
That is a great league, and it's a great thing. And it's one thing that East Carolina, I know you guys have talked about it. You know, you've got the Pirate football fans during the fall, but then with basketball, you end up having to adopt another team. You end up, you know, there's Duke fans and Chapel Hill fans. I don't call them Carolina. I don't concede the whole state, right? So you got the Chapel Hill fans, you got your Duke fans. And I sat there and you go, you know, how did they do that? Or how does that happen? Well, you go back and look, we've gone back and tried to find things on us, on our team. There were the only three games that were televised, four games of ECU the year we went to the tournament, was the three games on Home Team Sports with
yep.
George Johnson.
Yes.
HTS yeah. with George Johnson.
Kevin
yep. Greavy. Glenn Consor.
Yes. You got three games, and I know this because the Sports Information Department made us a VHS tape of the CAA tournament. And then we were on CBS with James Brown and Billy Packer on the 940 game of the 1-16 with Chapel Hill at Wake Forest when we played the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Okay. And then you go, okay, for the next 20 years, no one will ever be able to see ECU play basketball unless you go to Menjie's Coliseum. You can't. It's people are going. People want to pull for somebody. Heck, my mom will pick a team in the Super Bowl to watch to pull for, and she doesn't
right.
watch football. But if people are talking about it, she'll go, okay, I like the Saints because Peyton Manning's kind of cute or whatever, right? You know. and so you sit there and you go, it's hard to build a brand as far as ECU goes when you go, you were on TV once in 1993. And then it takes till you get to what, I don't know when we started, you know, the American, maybe a couple of Conference USA games. You know, when was the next time we were on TV?
That's a long period of time,
any channel. You go 20 years. It's
well,
crazy.
Of any significant amount.
Of anything, yeah.
Not that we were in the American. There was some games in Conference USA televised, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. There was a few of those, but that was when, that you know, you're still 15, there's still a 15-year gap.
Yeah,
right.
You know. And so I'm really hopeful that this American, the TV and all of that will take off. So again, sorry,
you know,
didn't mean to get off on that.
The key with the basketball is kids. That's the excuse everybody makes. That's an East Carolina football fan, and then a Carolina basketball fan or a Duke basketball fan. Well, I grew up watching them. Well,
yep.
hell, I grew up watching He-Man, but then I stopped. That's
right.
It's your pirate. Your pirate. You deal with the losing. I mean, I don't. My brain doesn't work that way. I have people ask me that. Well, who do you like in basketball? Well, you know, we got a basketball team. I look, I don't go to a lot of basketball games because, to be honest with you, I'd hurt your feelings, TJ. But basketball is my least favorite of the big three sports. I don't go to a lot of basketball games, but let me assure you, East Carolina is my basketball team. And I hate Chapel Hill and NC State and Duke in basketball just as much as I hate them in football with tiddlywinks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So my point is, you know, now's the time that everybody can – you don't have to do that anymore. Now's the time where you get behind it and pull for the Pirates.
Exactly.
And you got to – and this is probably, TJ, back to your time in our era, when we were going to school there, this is the biggest – when it comes to coaches, you've got Eddie – when you had Eddie Payne.
Yep.
You had Steve Logan. And you had with Coach Overton. I mean, you have to go probably back to that era where you have the three big coaches at the same time as we have right now. It's kind of like, I guess, a generational thing. But I'm hopeful that when you're talking about Dave Hart, Dave Hart brings in Joe Dooley. He brings in John Gilbert and Mike Houston. The money was worth, now hindsight, the money was worth every penny that Dave Hart got, in my opinion, because look at the way things are. And you look at our future. I want to get you, before we go, I wanted to ask you, as far as I know next, about the time of the spring game, right after that is when I know the signing can start, or for a couple weeks, I guess, for basketball. What do you think about our chances? Are you hearing anything? Do you know anything? I know that there's a lot of guys on the list of, you know, the wish lifts, if you will.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of guys on the list. I know that there's, you know, there's a couple of local guys. Again, I did doing the radio for the state championship games with Shaquem Phillips at South Central. Really good player that I think could be a really good, you know, a good player for ECU. Justin Wright at Farmville Central. Another really, really good player that I think could be a good player at ECU. You know, I've heard, you know, those guys are being that Coach Dooley was kind of like, I'm going to give it everything I got to the end of this season, and then we'll rally up and we'll evaluate and we'll make determinations, and then we'll go from there on the recruiting trail. So, I don't have any. You know, is Coleman the 7-footer that went to Wake? Do we have him about ready to flip? I don't have that. But I got my fingers crossed. You know, I'm hopeful for a few things like that. But what I do know is that, you know, Coach Dooley's just kind of always been successful. You know, Mike Houston's always been successful, and so that's what, you know, that's what gives me hope. Hope going forward. Coach Dooley is a great basketball coach and a smart guy, and knows what he's doing. And so, I'm real hopeful we're going to see some names pop up here soon. I can tell you that I've gotten to know Coach Rockefort, and
oh my God,
he is wide open. I'll tell you this: I've got a letter. We recently moved. I've actually got a letter from Ken Potosnak. When I was a sophomore at Wake Forest, I went to Wake Forest basketball camp, and Coach Potosnak was my camp counselor in his first year of college coaching at Wake Forest basketball camp. He wrote me a letter and said, "Here's the Wake Forest shooting drills. Good luck this summer." It was nice to know you. It's like 1990, Ken Potosnak.
Well, and then you have.
Of course, Potosnak looks younger than – he looks younger than me, so
– Yeah.
But he's not.
I mean, it's kind of like the – like I've talked about, it's unfair advantage we have when you have him, Rafael Chilius, you have – and Rockefort. I mean, those guys are just having Dooley there, but then when you add those three guys as assistants, I mean, I remember when the people on Hoist of Colors were – when is he going to name the coaches? And, like, in other words, he was being a failure. Like, he couldn't get anybody to come.
is what it seemed like they were insinuating, which I knew that was not the case with Joe Dooley.
Yeah.
And he secretly had three. I mean, of course, he kept Potasnik and he gets, I mean, Rockefeller. I mean, you want to know why Virginia Tech is good? I'll hang my hat on the reason why Virginia Tech is good is because of that man. He brought a lot of those guys, recruits in, and
he was the lead on most of those guys. Yeah, there's no doubt, and he's working his butt off. Again, through, you know, him coming here, just kind of landing. You know, a buddy of mine was like, "Hey, you need to meet Coach Rock. You know, you being a former player and all that stuff." And Rock and I had texted forever, going just, "Hey man, you got a chance to go to lunch. I'm in Texas." He said, "You know, hit me back Thursday." So, you know, we'd go back and forth. "Hey, I'm in Georgia. Hey, I'm in wherever." And so it literally took us like 3 months of trying once a week just to go out and grab lunch and chat, you know. Because he was on the road, he was working, he was doing that. So I can assure the Pirate fans that the guys are, they want a good basketball program and are working to get one.
PJ, I had a funny story before we wrap this thing up. I've told the guys this before, talking about supporting the Pirates in basketball and all sports, not just football. It's funny, thinking back to my childhood, I got that same question that Kyle got. "Well, who's your favorite team?" I said, "East Carolina." "Well, we know that, but who's your favorite ACC team?" I said, I just kind of looked at him. I said, "Why do I have to have one? My favorite ACC team is one that's losing."
Yeah. that's great. Going back to, I can't tell you how much fun it was. There's no way to put into words. Going to that NCAA tournament, they had a pairings a party. One of the first times that I knew about, where they had us in Minji's, and they had the screens up where they started, where, you know, Greg Gumbel comes on with CBS and starts announcing the tournament pairings. And you go back to 1993, and I don't remember that being done a whole lot. But they were going to have that for us. Again, people were a little bit in shock that that we had won the CAA tournament and that we were going to the dance. And the very first announcement, they went to the, I believe we were in the East Regional. You know, I can't remember whether we were in the East or the South. But I believe we were in the East Regional is by definition. And the very first slide, they pull it back, and it's one North Carolina 16 East Carolina. And yeah, at that point, you don't need an ACC school. You pull for the Pirates, and just how fun that was, and how much of a part of my life that's always been. So yeah, that was a great time, no doubt.
Yeah, Eric Montross, Kevin Salvadori, George Lynch, they had some trees.
Yeah, I can tell you the guy that made the difference was Lynch. Going into practice, you know, that game at the under 8 timeout, I believe the game was like a 10-11 point game. I think we actually got it to 9 one time, I think, under the 8. But Lynch was, man, he was a monster. You just didn't have that. You just hardly anybody has that guy. You know, 6'7", 6'8", athletic, strong, can shoot, can do everything. We'd have all the boxes checked of everything we were supposed to do. Everybody's boxed out as best as everybody could be boxed out. And George Lynch gets the offensive rebound when we played good defense. We got the stop that we needed. We almost had the stop that we needed, and he gets the offensive rebound and puts it back. I mean, he was the one that really made the difference and carved us up.
Yeah, like you're saying, I remember there in the last
five, six, whatever minutes of that ball game, being within striking distance, like, uh-oh, is the unthinkable going to happen?
Yeah, well, they were really known for their trap, and Coach Smith had, you know, really prided himself on that. They'd play, you know, their man-to-man defense, and they'd switch it up, and they would go to the trap, and sometimes they would do it off the dribble, sometimes they would do it off the first pass. And we had a really good week of practice, of really Coach Payne hammering it, really getting the ball to the middle, and then once we got it to the middle, to kick out opposite. And there's several times Lester had 27 that game, and if you go back and look at it, there's probably 9 of the 27 came when they tried to trap. We hit it to the middle, Ike, James Lewis, Antoine Gill, whoever it was, turned and kicked out opposite, and Lester was you know, he was bombing from outside and really broke them from got them out of that. They wanted no parts of that defense anymore. So, you know, that was a really fun thing to look back on.
And I remember on the Eddie Payne show, preparing for those trees, we're talking about playing against like Montross and Salvadori. I remember Martin McGillen and some of the other, I guess, student assistants, GAs, that kind of thing. They had like a player's head on a stick, and they're holding brooms up to simulate those 7-footers.
Man, but that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's
my memory's sick.
That is great. We got to talk. I don't run into many people that care about as much as you do. So I got some other a few more hours at least of stories. I will tell you, we used to line up, as most teams do, shortest to tallest coming out of the locker room, and so therefore yours truly was I was the shortest by a bit, and so I actually was the first one out of the locker room when we would come out for warm-ups. And so we're playing at Lawrence Joel at Wake Forest, which that was special to me. My father went to Wake Forest. He's since passed away. And I told him one day when I was, you know, 5 years old that I'd make it out there on the court. I did. He didn't care that whether I was wearing a Wake Forest jersey or East Carolina jersey. He was so happy. But we ended up making it out there. And so as we went through the layup line, as I went through first, you know, you kind of circle back around towards half court. Well, about the time we came out first, then Chapel Hill comes out, and it was like Winstrom, Salvadori, and Montross. And so, you know how sometimes when you walk and you're about to kind of run into somebody, you both might step to the right, and then you both might step to the left, and you kind of end up kind of dancing with each other, trying to go around. We get to half court, and we kind of end up kind of doing that and muddled. And Montross and Winstrom, I believe it was, I like bump into them, and it was like their hips hit me in the top of the head. And I thought, man, those are some big dudes over there on the other side.
Yeah,
they were huge, and you know, obviously that played a factor in the game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then they had, you know, Henrik Rödl, Sullivan, and yeah, well, we had one guy at 6'8", and then you had James Lewis, who did a good job of battling at 6'6", or whatever he was. So.
Yeah, Love would go in there and battle. He was he's about 6'5", 6'6". He was real strong, but yeah, you know, you can't give up a, you know, 6'7", 8 inches. And again, Lynch was just so strong and athletic.
Good rebounder.
That was tough. But yeah, it was, you know, thinking back, every time this year, about this time in the year, it's a special time. I love the NCAA tournament and all that it's meant to my life, and how good basketball has certainly been to me and ECU and everything else. This is almost like Christmas.
As good as it gets, right?
This is as good as it gets. I will tell you too, one of the coolest things at the NCAA tournament, a lot of people don't realize, you have a private practice, and then you have the practices are open to the public when you go to the venue. So, you know, you think about playing at the CAA, playing at American, playing at George Mason, playing at wherever. We went to, and we had practice at Lawrence Joel. I can't remember what day and time and night or whatever it was, but there were 7,000-8,000 people at practice. And wow. Coach Payne had kind of designed it so that the drills were a little bit more, you know, scrimmage-like. They were a little bit more shooting. They were a little bit more that kind of thing. And, we come out to practice for our time at Lawrence Joel, and you look around, and the arena seats, what, 15,000 or whatever it is. And it was the whole lower bowl was full for our practice. And that's when you kind of knew, you were like, yeah, this is kind of cool. I'm not missing the three in any of our drills tonight. If they came to see something, they're gonna see it, you know. So that was super fun.
Well, TJ, thank you, man. I appreciate you. I just looked at the time, and we definitely will have you back on a regular basis. I appreciate all you've done for East Carolina. I know there are a lot of people that will learn more about you, and some people that listen to the podcast already know about you, but you're always welcome here, and appreciate the time tonight. And hopefully, it won't be 26 more years before we can get the next team. I don't think yeah. it'll be that long of a drought.
No. We need to do that. Listen, guys, I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate all guys with everybody with the Pirate passion. And yeah, like you talked, there's lots of stuff that's left on message boards, but. I accept that, and I pretty much think that the way it is on the passion is shown out there on the message boards and wherever it is. That's just because we all want the best for East Carolina. Right. That's what we got to continue to keep our eye on. It's whatever is best for East Carolina, regardless of who the coach is or the administrator or whoever it is. It's got to be the best for East Carolina. So that's what we want.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Guys, right, thank guys. You. I appreciate you so much having me on.
Absolutely, right. Man. Hope you have a good night.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. And I know before we go, we want to plug, obviously, our website, and, well, certainly social media, right, guys?
When do we get a website?
We do have one. Sportsobjective.com. It's not much of one, but
oh.
We need to improve that. But.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at TheSportsObjective. Like and follow us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you haven't checked out those videos of Mike Houston providing a little tour of the Ward Sports Medicine Building and the football facilities, and kind of outlining his vision for some of those hallways within Ward, definitely check those out.
That's right, and it's great stuff there, and looking forward. We'll have another practice report coming up on Friday and Saturday, by the way, folks. If you haven't checked that out today, we have those exclusively on SoundCloud. Bubba Rosenbaum, appreciate you, man, and Kyle from LaGrange Barber. I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.